Oh, so if you've been hanging out with us, you know that last week we finished up the first part of this trust series. We just focused on truth. How do we step into the truth? How do we struggle with the truth? How do we live in the truth? Today is a standalone Labor Day. It's always this standalone sermon. You can't pick up that series of the kids back to school. It's silly to start a new one. So it's a standalone series, and today we're talking about prayer. Just out of curiosity, I'm always curious. Five being, I am nailing it. I feel I am exemplary in my prayer life. One being, oh man, I got some growing to do. And you can go anywhere in between, 5 to 1. Just where are you at, if you're honest? Where are you at with your prayer life? Okay. I'm seeing a bunch of zeros. Nobody's even willing to go like... Seriously, just, I want to... This way I can kind of cultivate my sermon. Okay. So we're all over the place. Good. Now I can just go where I wanted to go. This sermon started at a Chicago concert. I'm sitting in a nightclub in Chicago. A hip-hop artist that I really wanted to see was playing. In his opening act, I could not understand anything but 5 words in the entire show. But he stopped and he said, okay, this is a call and response song. When I say push, you say pray until something happens. I like that, don't you, right? It works, it's an acronym. Push, pray until something happens. And this was a hip hop show, so people actually did it. He'd say push, the audience would just yell, pray until something happens. And so I really, really, really wanted this sermon to be about prayer, about intercession, about kingdom breakthrough. But I've made a commitment that unless I've pressed into it, unless I've lived it, unless I've seen that it's facts and it works more than just in the theoretical, I'm not going to preach it. And I'll be honest, is the more I press into prayer, and it's something that God's just been putting on my heart lately, the more I'm learning about how to pray. The more I'm learning about how to pray when prayers don't get answered. And I can't even say when they don't get answered the way I want them to. I still don't know exactly. I wish I could. I wish I could say, hey, I'm your pastor. I get this. We pray and we see these results. I want to press into that. But this morning when I, over the last couple months, as I've pressed into that, I keep coming back to this Thessalonians verse. If you have your Bible, pop it open to Thessalonians. It's easier on a phone. Thessalonians is this really short little book. It's that long, so you'll miss it. But if you have a paper Bible, it should be on page 825 if your pages are exactly the same as me. If you don't, it's Thessalonians. And he ends this letter to Thessalonica, which is this little island town where Paul and Silas were almost killed, which is kind of one of his themes. Right, he goes to a place, he starts a church, the townspeople try to kill him. He goes to another place, starts a church, the townspeople want to kill him. And he ends it with this. 5, verse 16. He says, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks to God in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Man, I've heard so many sermons that look at, and the theological word is intercession, and they go, intercede continually, pray continually, keep interceding. I mean, we ask people, which is interesting, try it for a week. Ask people, say, hey, how can I pray for you? I'm amazed how many people go, ah, nothing. Somewhere we've equated pray for me with bad stuff is happening. Right, don't we? Pray for me because I'm having this trial. But what does Paul press into here? This is intriguing. Rejoice always. When I was in seminary, they warned us. They said, don't buy into this self-help gospel. Right? Unfortunately, some of the self-help gospel is right. If you were to Google attitude of gratitude, first off, you know that's got to be right. It rhymes. Attitude of gratitude. Not only does it rhyme, it has the same syllabic breakdown. How do you cultivate an attitude of gratitude? Why is this important? See, psychology tells us that if we set our minds on positive things are more likely to happen. If we wake up every morning, and if you Google this, you'll find article after article after article, and it says if you cultivate an attitude of gratitude, you will actually become a more positive, healthier person. What would happen if when you wake up in the morning, pull out a piece of paper and a pen, and you write down three things that you're grateful for. If you write down three things that you're thankful for, what if you try to write those down different every single day? Can I just put a challenge out to you? Try it. Try it and see what happens. What psychology teaches us is that we're actually orientating ourselves toward the positive things in life. That as we think on these things, we become more positive people. Are you with me? But Pastor, that's psychology. What about Jesus? Well, let's stop and unpack this for a second. Church, this is what we got to do. We got to start looking at these things in the world that work and asking the question behind the question. Why do they work? Instead of, as a church, not just promise, but as a national church, we've started dismissing things. Oh, that's just positive self-talk. It's just positive. No, what's Scripture say? If you're a Fight Club man going through this chapter right now, your brain should instantly be going to 2 weeks ago memory verse. Whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, think on these things. That's what Scripture says. What happens when we do that is we think about those amazing things. That's what Paul is saying right here in Thessalonica. Rejoice always. I would argue that when he says pray continually, he's getting to the root of the matter. He is not doing a ping pong match. Rejoice always. Pray continually for all the bad things that are happening in your life that God might help you. Give thanks in all circumstances. No. I'd argue that he's saying when you stop and are grateful and cultivate an attitude of gratitude, that actually what you're doing is praying. Stop and unpack it with me for a second. At least this is what happened in my journey. I said, you know what? I know it was on Oprah. So I've rejected it my entire life. If Oprah says it, it must be, just take a gratitude journal. Write down three things every day that you're thankful for. You know what happened to me when I did this over the last, it's been 45 days? I noticed that I started asking, I can't say thank you unless I'm saying thank you to somebody. Right? Like, that's just awkward to be driving in my car and go, thank you. Now, you say thank you to people, and what happens is when you cultivate an attitude for gratitude, it begs a certain question. Who are you saying thank you to? Who gave you that gift? It's amazing the head trip that happens. Man, God, thank you for my paycheck today. Or actually, it started, thank you for my paycheck today. That was really cool to get. Hey, Henry, who are you saying thank you to? Well, I guess I'm saying thank you to me. I worked really hard this week. Hey, why were you able to work hard? Well, I've got health. I've got a brain. Well, why? The funny thing is, as we develop an attitude of gratitude, it points us back to the Creator, to a Creator that knit you together, fearfully and wonderfully knit you together, that gives you all these gifts. Not because you're deserving. So that's where intercession gets weird for me. It gets weird for me to pray for this thing when there's these people suffering. It gets weird for me when we do missions because we have to pick to help this people group or this people group. I've talked to people and they're paralyzed by prayer. And if you're there this morning, if you're a one or a two or a three, or I'm not even going to hold my hand up because I don't want anybody to know how much I struggle with this. What's it look like to start at step one? To start, and just as an experiment, take the next month, every morning, just say, here's three things I'm grateful for. Actually write them down. Actually keep a pad by your bedside table, and the first thing in the morning, what are three things you're grateful for? If you really want to challenge yourself, don't make them the three same things every day. I see the look in some of your eyes. You're like, sweet. I'm going to do what Pastor asked. I'm going to thank you for my wife. Thank you for a good night's sleep. Thank you for breakfast next day. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for a good night's sleep. I think that's what Paul's saying. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. I want to give you guys a head start. I want to set you up to win. Just in the next minute, literally 60 seconds, just make a list. A prayer list. What are you thankful for today? I wanted to give you a minute because the first time through, sometimes it's, if you're not in this habit of cultivating an attitude of gratitude, it's actually hard to think of things that you're grateful for. I'm honestly amazed how easy it is to get in a negative rut, to list all the things that I need help with, all the brokenness in the world, all those pieces, instead of just stopping for 1 second and saying, I'm going to rejoice in this. I'm going to give thanks for this. It's funny because as I've experimented with praying this way, and quick sidebar, I'm not giving up on intercession. Actually, I'm putting together a team to really press into that here at Promise. And if you're an intercessor, if you're one that's that when you pray for people, you see things happen? Talk to me, because I want to put you on that team. We're putting together a team that's going to go, hey, we're going to pray for people. We're going to pray with people. We're going to come alongside that. Talk to me if you're that person. If you're not yet, notice the key word, yet, we're all going to get there. If you're not yet, what I'll warn you is to tie the whole sermon up. When you start cultivating an attitude of gratitude, you see the push. When you start praying and giving thanks, keep praying until something happens. But you know how this works out? And I felt stupid writing this sermon because I'm like, duh, you know this. God always does something in you before he does something through you. The something that happens, if it's of God, is in the person before it's through the person. Why? Because God is more interested in you than in what you do. God is more interested in who you are, his beloved child, and transforming you than he is in using you like a monkey wrench that can be thrown away when it's broken. So that's the gospel. If you prefer a theological word for this, if an attitude for gratitude just sounds too bumper stickery, if it feels too far away from Jesus, not Christ-centered enough, then let me put it in the Greek, eucharisto. Anybody hear that word? Eucharisto, or Eucharist. It's what we call this meal, Jesus' very body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine. But if you prefer it in the Latin, it's Eucharist. The word means to give thanks. If Labor Day is not anything else, it's a day where we reflect on our rhythms. I mean, look at the paradox. Labor Day, which, by the way, when it was going to be the push sermon, there was going to be this whole innuendo, Labor Day push. Do you get it? It would have been funny. Everybody would have laughed. Somebody wouldn't have got it until Tuesday. Somebody would have told me, she's in labor right now, and we have a grandbaby. When we were doing that, Labor Day is all about rhythms. On Labor Day, the day that we celebrate work, how do we celebrate it? Yeah, by not working. I love it. It's a day where we reflect on our rhythms. We're built into the DNA of Americans is that our identity isn't found in work. But work is something we do, and how do we celebrate that gift of God? We celebrate it by resting. When we're thinking about rhythms, think about the rhythms Jesus had. Rhythms of work, rhythms of rest, rhythms of stopping and giving thanks. How many times in Scripture does it say before Jesus ate, he stopped and he Eucharisted. Even in the midst of the stress, knowing that he was going to dip his hand into the bowl of bread and pull out a piece with Judas who would leave and betray him, he started the meal off by giving thanks. The reason we return to an attitude of gratitude is because that's what we see Jesus do. What's it look like to pause and to give thanks? One way we do it is we return to this table. We return to the thanksgiving that all gifts, especially the gift of eternal life, come through Jesus Christ alone, not because we've done anything to deserve it, not because we've earned it, but because he looks at us and he loves us. And so we pause and we prepare our hearts to receive this gift.